Welcome to the Heart of Dating podcast. Hey, it's Kate. I'm so glad you could join us this week as we try to untangle the ever so ambiguous world of dating as a Christian. Over here on Heart of Dating, we get real as we answer some tough questions and uncover transformative ways to approach Christian dating. Oh, and you better believe we have some laughs along the way, because last time I checked, the struggle is hashtag real. You know what I'm saying? Now, let's get to the heart of the matter. Hey, my friends, how you doing today? I hope you had a wonderful holiday weekend, and I hope you got to do something amazing for yourself. I also hope you took some time to just rest and relax and rejuvenate and just fully take advantage of those gifts of freedom and time, okay? That's just your friendly reminder. Now, today I'm going to do something a bit different in this intro. I want to share with you an inspirational quote to think about this next week. It's in the pursuit of His will and the surrender of your control that you will find what you desire. Pursuit of His will and the surrender of your control. So spend some time thinking about that one as you move into this next week and as you prepare to listen to today's awesome episode. Now, y'all have been going crazy over our last episode, Sex, Virginity, Purity, A Conversation with Mo Isom. And if you haven't listened yet, go ahead and after you listen to this one today, make sure you go back and listen to it and really soak in all that Mo has to share on these topics. I know the struggle is real, but just because it's hard does not mean we should give up in fighting for what God truly intended for us. Now, if you've already heard the episode and love the wisdom, would you do us a favor and share it with other people? Text it to your favorite friends or share it on Instagram or Facebook. It would mean the world to us. Now, one last thing before we get into the episode today. I want to ask y'all, have you had a chance to rate and review us yet on iTunes? I love getting to read your amazing reviews. They help us so, so, so much. Now, here's a recent review from Histine 10. It's titled, Not Just for Females. That's right. The principles in this podcast are key in all aspects of dating. Just stumbled upon this a couple weeks ago, and going back and listening to them all has been a blessing. Implementing these truths through prayer is exciting. Keep up the amazing work. Awesome. Y'all keep sharing your reviews with us. We need them, and we are so thankful for all of them. And also, it's true. This podcast is for all stages, ages, and both men and women. All are welcome here. Now today, I'm truly excited because this is going to be yet another incredible and mind-blowing episode where you guys are going to learn a ton. I literally couldn't keep up with my notes as our guest today, Megan Kasten, was speaking. She just spewed so much truth, y'all, when it came to talking about red flags and deal breakers, and we go through it all. She is just so good at this stuff. So let me introduce her. Megan Kasten is the co-founder of Marriage 365, a nonprofit dedicated to helping couples connect on a deeper level. She and her husband, Casey, reach millions of couples around the world each month with their resources, including books, retreats, online courses, webcasts, and they just released a brand new membership site called My Marriage 365. Megan, her husband Casey, their two kids and dog Hobie live in Orange County, California. Megan loves the beach, dance parties, writing, spa days, and of course, Jesus. Her lifelong dream is to walk the Camino, have lunch with Brené Brown, which we talk about at length today, and get on The Price is Right. Also, y'all, I'm super excited. We talk about it on the episode today, but Megan and Casey have offered our listeners a 20% discount on their online dating and premarital course, which is already only $97. So this is literally such a great deal, you guys. You can find it at happilyeverafterlove.com and you can enter code capital heart of dating 20 to get a 20% discount. They're also offering 20% off their printed book, 365 Connecting Questions for Engaged Couples. So y'all, they are doing a ton for us today, and I'm so thankful for them. So take advantage of these discounts. They're super epic. Now get ready today as we talk all sorts of dating red flags and deal breakers. Let's go. Megan Kasten, girl, welcome to Heart of Dating.
I'm so excited to be here.
So excited. Thank you for having me over at your house today.
Yes.
For this awesome conversation.
In my film studio / office that's probably really ugly to you.
It's not ugly. This is genius with all the foam. This is perfect. This is what I need up in LA, but I'm living in the sticks up in LA. I'm just kidding. Sometimes I record, we were talking about that in my closet. So, you know.
Hey, it's all good.
The glamorous life of an entrepreneur.
Exactly. Oh, exactly.
were like, if you really knew, I was just wearing athleisure on the bottom and just, yeah.
100%. Half the time on my videos when people see us at Marriage 365, I'm wearing pajama pants.
Exactly.
Up Perfect. On top, I look great.
You like, I have makeup and put on bottom. Oh, and then right after, I just change back into the normal
pajamas.
Exactly.
You get me.
No, girl, we get it. So tell everyone who you are. You and your husband, Casey, do such incredible things. And I just want them to find out more about you guys if they don't already. So tell me what you do.
Absolutely. So my husband and I, we've been married almost 16 years. Mm-hmm. His name's Casey. And we met in college. And marriage was never really on our radar because we had a really bad marriage. Mm. You know, honestly, dating was really easy and fun and engagement was amazing. And from the moment we got married, we had problems. Mm. And so fast forward, I mean, we were able to work through our issues and you'll get to hear a little bit more of our story. Yeah. But we just realized that as we were getting help for our marriage, there weren't a lot of quality resources out there. I mean, podcasts, we've been married a long time. So podcasts didn't exist yet.
Right. Okay. That's a newer thing in
Facebook,
the last few years.
Facebook wasn't around yet. That's how old I am. Oh my gosh, Pinterest wasn't around. Okay. So.
And Instagram definitely wasn't here yet.
No, definitely not. Social media didn't exist. So we were really forced to go like to the library, Barnes and Noble. And there was like one shelf of marriage books and the marriage advice seemed really watered down.
Yeah.
And I needed a book that was titled like, What Do You Do If You Hate Your Husband? And I couldn't find the title.
That's real.
So we started kind of doing our own research and we were able to turn our marriage around. But with that came this idea of what would it look like if we created mostly online resources for couples all around the world so that no one could have an excuse not to be equipped on how to do relationships well. And starting with dating and engage, which I'm glad you reached out because it really does start in the dating years.
Right.
It doesn't start in marriage.
No.
It shouldn't start in marriage.
It shouldn't. And it often does.
Unfortunately, it does. And when couples are at such a bad place, the average married couple waits 6 years to get help for their marriage. And oftentimes it's too late.
Wow.
So if people were educated before they moved into marriage, they'd save themselves a lot of heartache and a lot of money. So anyways,
bring us to here today.
Yes. So marriage365.org. We have a nonprofit. We have a staff of 10 right now, and we just continue to grow. But we were excited because last month we reached 3 million different people all around the world. We've got resources. We do retreats, books. We just created a brand new app, but it's not the typical app that you go to the app store and download. It's a membership site, and it's called mymarriage365.org.
Oh, wow.
And there's tons of free resources. A free relationship health assessment, and it's even ideal for dating and engaged couples.
Yeah.
So it's great.
Well, and that's what I also tell people dating. I love everything you're doing, but we need to learn and glean knowledge and wisdom from people who are doing it right and listening and reading these resources because right now there isn't that much on dating. That's why I have this podcast, but we need to at least, in the very least, go to married people and say, okay, well, what can I learn from what they have learned? Because those are things you can address now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the topic for today, which you guys all get to hear about in a minute, is perfect. So if you're like, I want to make sure that I pick the right person, I want to make sure that I have my happily ever after, like you're doing the right thing by listening to this podcast. I'm not really just trying to show Kate's awesome. I really love and I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, girl, I'm so excited about this topic. So I'm really happy we're diving into this specifically because I think again, like we're saying, everything we're saying kind of ties into the topic we're going to, because if we could notice and identify some things more while we're dating, we could really have better tools to set us up to like actually get out of dating relationships before they turn into a marriage that then becomes really unhealthy very quickly.
Correct.
Because one of the things I love that Gary Thomas told me about a year ago is like, if they're not talking about God right now to you, then they're not talking to God. That's one thing. But he also said like, hey, if they're not showing these fruits in their life now, it's not going to change in marriage. Like, don't think that by adding marriage to the mix that suddenly, here you go, it's all better. The marriage Band-Aid. No, it's not. It does not work.
It doesn't work.
So that's what we're talking about today. So we are going to be talking about red flags, deal breakers, breaking up well, all of this. So let's dive into the first part. I want to ask you this. Obviously red flags happen, but why do we commonly miss red flags? Why do you think that happens so frequently?
Okay, so there's a couple reasons. Oftentimes when we're dating, we're obviously on our best behavior. Mm-hmm. We don't want to show the crazy, right? We don't want to say like, hey, I got all these flaws and insecurities. And so we really do want to put our best self forward. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're all people do that naturally. I also think that we focus on the positive and we don't really look for those red flags, or we don't know about those red flags. Another massive issue is that sex is introduced early, way too early on in relationships nowadays. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I'm talking first date, first month, first couple of months. And what happens when we introduce sex too early on is, obviously, with orgasms and sex, it's such an emotional and vulnerable and intimate connection, right? Yeah. And there's hormones produced. They say that it's like the same hit as taking drugs. Oh my gosh. Truly, right? Yeah. And so what happens is we introduce sex and then it skews our judgment. Mm. So our boyfriend or our girlfriend might show some signs of not being a good listener, or maybe they just don't really like communicate well, but you know what? The sex is really good.
Yeah.
The sex is great. Yeah. It's hot and heavy and we're horny. And you know what? We ignore the red flags.
Yes.
And I would say this is more common with women.
Yeah.
You know,
well, women emotionally connect very deeply. Not that guys can't, but it's very, very, I mean, I can speak from my experience as well. Like, one of the worst relationships in my life, which ended over 6 years ago, a huge reason why I stayed in that relationship was because sex was a part of that relationship.
Absolutely.
And he was terribly abusive and it was just completely awful. But I just, a huge part of why I stayed is because, like, oh, but I'm never going to get this kind of connection with anybody else.
Absolutely.
And it was, you know, a huge, basically a soul tie. You know, I was just totally tied to him and my mind was so skewed that I started holding on because I was like, I can't imagine it with anybody else.
Absolutely. So it really does skew our judgment. It bonds us in a way. And my husband always says, like, you know, you didn't have time to really get to know each other well.
Yeah.
On a friendship level, on, you know, differences and common things because sex was introduced. And then really, let's be honest, like when you're dating, you're so hot and heavy for each other that, okay, you go on date nights, but you're like, okay, when's the next time we get to have sex? When's the next time we get to make out for 5 hours? And rather than really getting to know each other and doing that, you know, work that requires the relationship to make it work. So that's why couples that don't introduce sex. So my husband and I actually didn't have sex before we were married.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, let me say, so I wasn't a virgin.
Yeah.
I'm very open about that. I was not a virgin. And I met my husband who was a virgin. Mm. And I was worried he wasn't going to want to date me because he's waited, you know, we were, he was 24 when we got married. I was 20, but he was like, hey, this is important to me. Super opposite of a red flag. I was like, wow, this is attractive. Like a man who actually can practice self-control and who sees my value and doesn't want to take that from me, you know? And so we was staying for 2 years, which was really hard. Let me tell you.
Yeah, girl, I hear it.
Yeah, it's a challenge for sure. Not to say that it's easy, but we always say that if you can practice self-control before you're married, you can definitely practice self-control after you're married. Anyways, long story short, if sex is introduced, if you're like, so the question would be, if we didn't have sex, what else would our relationship have? That's a great kind of question for those of you listening that do have sex and you're maybe feeling a little convicted right now.
Yeah.
Take the sex factor out. How good of a relationship do you have?
Yeah. So, well, and even with that, Megan, I'll just say, because I think so many conversations I have openly with people and friends and stuff like that is like, okay, if it's not actual intercourse, but it's all the, it's a lot of the other stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. All the foreplay.
Yeah. All the other stuff. So it's like, we toe this line of like, oh, but I'm not actually having sex.
Yeah.
I'm just doing all these other things.
Yeah.
And I still think that's the same. It's the same thing. So whether you're saying like sex intercourse or just all this other stuff, it still is cloudy to your mind.
Absolutely. And I'm just going to say a statement here, but I mean, oral sex is even more intimate than intercourse for most people.
Yeah.
And that is extremely vulnerable. Mm. And so I think a lot of people are like, oh, it's not sex. I can't get pregnant. But it's even more vulnerable. Yeah. I mean, really. So if you think about it.
No, 100%.
Yeah. So I think another reason is that couples don't go through enough hard times. Mm. Like they only experience the fun, the date nights, the learning everything new about each other.
Right.
And so unless if you know you've gone through a family death or maybe a job loss, you have these opportunities to kind of see these different personality traits come out with hard times. And so hard times are actually good to go through when you're dating because you get to see the good, the bad, the ugly.
Right.
And then lastly, I would say people actually do recognize the red flags. I think a lot of people stuff and they minimize. They make excuses. Yes. They say marriage is going to make this better.
Right.
You know, we just, you know, everyone goes through these things. If I'm just a better, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, it'll go away. And we minimize, we avoid, we stuff, which is so unhealthy. Mm. And we do go into marriage knowing those red flags, but telling ourselves, I'm just over, you know.
Yeah, you're critical. Like, as a Christian, especially, we're like, oh, but I see the best in him, and like, okay, but I think that, and a friend of mine, Mike Foster, said this once. Sometimes Christians can be some of the most unhealthy people when it comes to being sacrificial and loving people in some capacity, because you're seeing so much of the good that you're forcing yourself to only see that and not being realistic.
Like 100%.
We can't use that as this fog to say, oh, but they're eventually going to be this. No, yeah. Like take them for how they are right now, yeah. What they're showing you to be.
And I think the best scripture to read is Proverbs. Mm-hmm. I mean, Proverbs has so much about wisdom and understanding.
Yeah.
And they are very clear in Proverbs about, you know, the certain behaviors and character traits and all of that that you're supposed to look for and what will happen if these behaviors don't get fixed.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about, in terms of actual red flags, I want to ask you, I know there's a lot, there's like so many, but if you could pick 5 top red flags that we could share with people, what would those be?
Okay. So the first one would be extreme mood swings. Ooh. So really easily angered, like 0 to 100, being reclusive for 3 days and showing depression in their room where they don't get out, they don't talk to anybody, you know, lots of highs and lows. Now, I'm not talking about this happens every once in a while on a bad day, because we all have our bad days, right?
Yeah.
There's a desire sometimes where I have a bad day and I'm like, I just want to stay in my room, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about consistently.
Yeah.
These are usually symptoms that there's a lot of unresolved issues in their life that they haven't healed, they haven't mourned, they haven't processed, or mental illness, like depression, like bipolar, narcissism, things like that. So extreme mood swings, where if you feel like you're walking on eggshells, that is a red flag.
Yes.
Okay.
So good.
The second one would be lack of integrity. Mm-hmm. So people who practice integrity choose what's right over what's easy. So if they cheat on their taxes, if they say little white lies, if they just kind of have these small little moments, but there's consistently these moments where they choose what's easy, the easy way out, that shows a lack of integrity. And 100%. I think people, you have to marry someone with integrity. You just do. Like choosing courage. I know we share the love of Brene Brown, right?
I love it. We talked before I know. About her.
Oh. Anybody missing out on Brene Brown, you're missing
it. Go after this and get a book, watch her Netflix special.
Okay. I know. She's got the top 20 TED Talks of all time. Just search that and you'll fall
when
in love.
When I say to someone I'm dating, like, do you, or like on a date, do you know Brene Brown? If they say no, I'm almost like, okay, I should
add that to my list, Kate, of the top 5 red flags. If you don't know Brene Brown, you are not allowed in my house, in my life. No, I'm just kidding. But I really do. She talks so much about choosing courage over comfort, and it kind of falls into that same category, because really she's done so much research on the healthiest people have integrity. They just do. So integrity. I think another red flag would be family of origin interactions. So it doesn't mean that they need to have a healthy family, because we've all got some issues with our family members. Totally. My husband and I are known for having the most family drama. We would consider ourselves experts in that particular field, because between both sets of our parents, there are 12 marriages.
Oh my 12. Goodness.
So
oh,
we know divorce, affairs, blended families, like nobody's business. But I think it's how they talk about it.
Yeah.
How they respect or disrespect their family members, how they interact with their family. You can see a lot from someone by how they interact with their family, or even just talk about their family. So if it's very negative, if they're very disrespectful, if they're always involved in family gossip, those are all red flags. Because if that's how they're treating their family, you're going to be their family if you get married, and you get to be a part of that family as well.
Yeah.
Because our upbringing drastically impacts who we are, whether you like it or not.
Oh, yeah.
It just does.
It's like it impacts everything.
It impacts everything.
Yeah.
100%. How we were loved, how we were not loved, how our parents dealt with conflict. So pay attention to how they interact and talk about their family.
You know what's interesting in that too is boundaries, like seeing how good they are with boundaries within their family is something I always look at too, because that's the hardest one to establish, I find. And I've had recent calls with people where it's just tough. Like your parents don't like the person you're dating and how do you handle that and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But like watching that is another element in there. Like, do they have healthy boundaries?
Can I just give you a quick thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So we were coaching this couple. We do marriage intensives with couples in crisis.
Yeah.
And he was saying and telling us, the husband was sharing, and I have permission to share this.
Yeah.
We asked him. His parents have called him fat his whole life, and he accepted it.
Oh,
and he just said, well, you know, I kind of laugh it off and it's okay. And it was killing his wife.
Mm.
And really inside, of course, it was crushing him.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like a red flag. Like when we tolerate toxic family behavior, you also want to pay attention to that. So, I mean, like you said, there's no boundary to say like, hey, mom, dad, you can't call me fat. Like I'm an adult man and that's not okay.
Yeah.
And it really, really, I mean, stressed him out. And it was really inappropriate. So even boundaries, a lack of boundaries with their parents or siblings or grandparents is one too.
Yeah.
The fourth one would be, this was actually my husband's suggestion.
yes, Casey.
Interactions with the opposite sex.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So if they're still really close to a lot of their exes, if they're very flirtatious online, if they've always done like, we had like one night stands or like they're just hiding their phone a lot, or they have like, if it's a guy and they have all of these girlfriends, or if it's a girl and she's got all these guy friends, but it seems like boundaries are crossed often or they make you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Typically people who are very flirtatious with the opposite sex when dating have a very hard time not being flirtatious on the other side of marriage.
Oh, definitely.
I mean,
how are you just going to cut off all of that when you're married?
Of course. And I think that I'm not saying that you can't have friends of the opposite sex, but it's healthy relationships. It's inviting you if you're dating someone and for me, right? I was dating my husband and I did have a really good guy friend.
Mm-hmm.
I invited my husband now, but boyfriend back then with us. It was a threesome and it was like, hey, let's all hang out. It wasn't like, well, I'm going to go hang out with him and I'm not going to tell you about it.
Mm-hmm.
So secrecy, just things like that. Just be very cautious with that.
Coming back to the integrity too. It's like, do you have integrity to, like, if you want to continue some male-female friendships, tell your significant other about, introduce them, make it comfortable.
Yeah.
And then like really say like, hey, how do you feel about me being friend with this person?
Yeah.
And like gauging that, like, how does it make them feel? What's underneath that? Why is it that caring about that?
Yes.
If they just like, don't care at all, it's like, no, here are all my friends and that's not going to change. And cause I've had that and I'm like,
ooh,
wait.
Yeah.
But that's really tough for me actually.
Yeah. Because that means that person won't budge or be open to like, oh, I wonder if that does look bad, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think just really evaluating that their relationships with other people is important. And then the last one might surprise you,
okay,
but it's become a massive issue in the last 10 years is screen time. TV, video games, phone, being obsessed with their phone, and then porn.
We can't avoid that one in the screen time. Yeah.
It's all because if you're on your phone, you're going to get pop-ups for porn.
Yeah.
I'm going to stereotype men for a minute. I think men do have a much more difficult time with a screen usage. They target men.
Yeah.
Not to say that women don't.
Yeah.
But I would say that that's a really bad sign, and here's why. So emotionally healthy and intelligent people make time to be active. They hang out with friends. They listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
They read books. They have amazing relationships with people. They're working on themselves.
Yeah.
How do you do that if you binge watch Netflix every single day for 4 hours when you get home from work?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that if you're in front of a TV playing video games or on your phone for hours and hours? You're really, what you're doing is you're just checking out. I mean, that's what you're doing. You're checking
it's
out
numbing.
Emotionally.
It's
100%.
Completely numbing or
and
avoiding.
So
yeah.
I would say my biggest thing is if you are dating someone and they have an abnormal amount of time spent with their screen, fill in the blank, if it's iPad, video game, porn, phone, whatever, TV, I would be very, very concerned. And I would ask, yourself, like, am I okay being with someone who will always put the screen before me?
Right. That's really good.
And how self-aware are they? And how healthy are they as an individual?
Yeah. I mean, because if you bring that up to someone, I mean, it's not hard to say, hey, okay, yeah, I probably shouldn't be so much on my phone or my screen or whatever it is. So if they're totally – not open to that, then it's such, that is such a red flag.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I've had some people send in some questions on this, and this next question comes from someone in our group, and they ask like, okay, so what is the difference between some red flags that can be worked on versus some that are just complete and total deal breakers?
Yeah.
Because yeah, there might be a difference there. So I'm curious to have your thoughts on that.
So I think that a lot of times most people just don't know how to do relationships well. Mm-hmm. School doesn't equip you. Typically parents aren't sitting down with you talking about how to communicate and how to express your feelings and how to have empathy, right? We don't learn these things.
Yeah.
So I think you have to give your partner an opportunity to shine.
Yeah.
Like don't just go up. They've got all these red flags and they're out. Mm-hmm. I think it's an opportunity to communicate like, hey, I've noticed this, because they might not even know they're doing it, right? They might not even know. So I think it's like, okay, let's take the video games. Hey, babe, I've noticed that, you know, you play video games a lot. Like it seems like you actually enjoy video games more than you enjoy spending time with me. And it's not a judgment. It's just curious. Like, what do you get from that? Like, what do you love? So get curious, observe, and see if they, I know, get curious, right?
I get
Brene
curious.
Brown
I'm
again.
Like, okay,
I know.
Here we go. Like I say it all the time. Just get curious. I'm curious to learn.
All of your listeners are feeling so left out. The ones that don't know Brene Brown. I really hope it encourages them to go buy one of the books or watch her YouTube or whatever.
Yeah, all the
but truly, if you get curious, you can start identifying, is this a realistic red flag? And speak up in love and say something. And I think it's about progress. I think if you communicate it, you know, they should be able to go, you know what, you're right. Like I do play video games a lot, and you want to see that behavior change, not a verbal change like, oh, I should fix this, but actual change and a desire to work and become a better person.
And what I tell to – what I say to people, because I have done this, and I also as a woman kind of shoot myself in the foot as a strong woman, because then I'll be like – what I don't recommend is then checking up every week. So how are you doing on that? So how's this?
Yeah.
And being like this weird accountability partner for them.
Yeah.
Like you pray, process, and observe and see you dropped it out there. And now allow them, if it's spurred something on their heart, to potentially work on it and figure out their own solution too.
Yes.
I'm like, you're not their savior. You don't have to give them the roadmap to success necessarily. So allow, you know, bring it to their attention and allow them and watch. That's so good for me, at least a huge test in relationships to see, okay, I just drop it out there and see how they actually handle it.
The key is, like you said, drop it out there. We don't make demands.
Yes,
so it's not 100%. You will change video games. And I think a lot of times, unfortunately, we do this in relationships.
Mm.
We demand. We go, well, I'm not going to be with you unless if this changes. Yep. Well, why would you want to change if someone's going to verbalize that to you? Of course not. You request. You put it out there gently and in love, but very clearly, like, hey, I've noticed. Because two healthy people make healthy relationships. So you'd want both of you to recognize, well, gosh, you know, I value this woman. And if she's seeing this in me and it's hurting her or she thinks it's unhealthy, maybe I should myself get curious and go, why do I play video games so much? Right? So
versus coming at a lens that feels disrespectful or feels like there's a lack of respect on either
end. Or judgment.
100%. Yeah. Totally. Okay. So now you guys made this incredible book for conversation and connection starters called 365 Connecting Questions. And so in reading that, which is amazing, there's so many great questions in there. And I love like just a variety. It covers so many different things. So I think that a lot of this can also be addressed through some of the conversations we're having and some of the questions we're asking. So are there specific conversations or questions to ask so that we specifically can identify if these red flags exist?
Well, so I'm a huge advocate for premarital counseling. Mm-hmm. I mean, even for seriously dating, I think not to scare, you know, your beau away, but I really do think that through quality premarital counseling, a lot of things will come up naturally.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have an online premarital course called Happily Ever After.
Yes.
So,
yes,
so for couples that are like, I don't know if I want like to meet with someone, or that's also really expensive. So we understand that. So it's very affordable. It's all self-paced online. But
that's really good. That's so awesome.
It's called, and it's so easy to find, happilyeverafter.org. Like it's so easy. And
I'm going to like send that link to people after
this. Yeah, definitely. Yes. You know what I can do is I can actually give you a special code. So for your listeners, and they can get a discount on it.
Oh, perfect. We'll put it in the, I'll say it before or after the episode. Perfect.
Absolutely.
Yeah, girl.
I think it's best to just be as smart and as wise and as knowledgeable as you can. So I think the book that we wrote mm-hmm. is not what's your favorite color, what's your favorite food. Like, these are deep questions.
Yes.
And it's about sex yes. and intimacy, past relationships, family of origin, communication, conflict. I mean, you name it, we address it. We even mm-hmm. have a section for people who've been married before. So that's second great. Marriages, like, you know, things like that. But I think there's two topics. The must ask questions. I mean, the book's going to get you there. It's yes. There's 365.
Yeah,
I mean,
and like, I'm thinking about this. How did you write 365 questions?
Well, it's amazing. We've walked through so many. Our main passion is premarital counseling. Yes. We love working with premarital couples because they have such an eagerness to say, I want to do this right. Mm-hmm. And if they take it seriously, people who do premarital counseling have a 30% higher chance of staying happily married. Oh, so knowing that statistic, it's like, why not? Mm-hmm. Right? So past relationships, you have to learn and talk about past relationships. And I actually just made notes of a couple that I think are really important in my book. And it says, what did your past relationships teach you about love, trust, and commitment? That's good. And you want to look when you're talking to your boyfriend or girlfriend, you want to hear – you don't want to go, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't knows shows that they have a very low processing talent. Like mm-hmm. they've never really thought about it, and that's okay. But then go do a follow-up and go, well, hey, why don't you think about it and tell me like on our date on Friday? Because you want to process the damage, the good, the bad, the ugly from past relationships.
Yes.
And you don't ever want to hear like, well, it was all of my partner's fault. They made all the mistakes. Yes. It's like, well, didn't you see some of it? I mean, you dated for 4 years. How did you not see it? Right.
That's definitely a red flag. If it's only my ex, bad. I'm like, no, you learned something from that too, because you also were with them. So absolutely. What did you learn?
So another important question to ask about exes and if you've been married before and whatnot is, were any of your past relationships toxic? And I think that what happens is mm-hmm. kind of like what we were talking about in the beginning, you probably ignored red flags. Like you saw it, like you saw these things come up, but you stayed with the person. Mm-hmm. So even like taking ownership to your part is a great opposite of a red flag. So if you're with someone and they say, you know what, I work too much. I didn't really invest in the relationship and that's why we broke up. That is taking complete ownership for your part. Even if the girl, the guy was psycho or they were abusive, like we teach people how to treat us.
Oh my gosh. I love everything you're saying. I say that all the time. Yes. I just said it yesterday to someone in a call. I'm like, you're teaching that person how to treat you through your boundaries and through what you're allowing.
Yeah. So a common one is like, oh, well, you know, he cheated on me or she cheated on me and I stayed. It's like, but you taught them even just dating that they could do that and there wasn't any change. Anyways, so definitely past relationships is a huge one.
Yeah.
Same thing, like how early was sex introduced into the relationship with your ex? And then the other topic is family of origin. I think if you narrow, I mean, they're all important, but I think if you talk about past relationships and if you talk about family of origin, and our book has, I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens of questions in both of those topics.
And I think what you're saying too is if you notice that they have never reflected on these things, there you go. That's
also the red flag
problem.
Yeah, exactly. And give them the opportunity to reflect, but hopefully they don't come back to you and go, oh, I still haven't thought about it. Then you know that they're not as emotionally healthy as where they should be.
And they don't have what I always say is like the number one quality you need to look for in someone is teachability.
Yes.
I think if someone has a teachable heart, could do a lot of things with somebody with a teachable heart, but we're not in the culture as much where we have teachable spirits. We're like, no, I'm good as I am. Like you hear the line, that's just how I am.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, let's get curious on why. Yes. Like it's not just like, that's just how I am.
Well, and I think that we actually are overly educated in our career. Like people are going to school for much longer. I mean, we're like college degrees 50 years ago, you didn't even need one to get a job, right? Now it's like, good luck, right? And there's all these different things. So we're very educated in our career path, but we're very undereducated with our relationship skills and our communication skills. We say too, be a learner. Be a learner.
I love a learner. I'm a learner of life, you guys.
Yes.
Learner of life. Friends, I want to take a quick pause in today's episode to tell you about something I am so excited about. I just want to say that I know the struggle is real with dating in our current culture. It can be murky and confusing and sometimes just so frustrating. Do you ever feel like you have no idea what you're doing or that you keep trying and failing? Or that you just don't know how to handle hard situations or conversations with people.
Or maybe you just feel stuck in a dating wasteland with no good potentials. Whew, I get it, and I have felt a ton of those exact same things. Now, a huge issue when it comes to dating is that we don't have a ton of great resources out there for guidance. The Bible doesn't talk about dating because it didn't exist at the time. And now, today, about 50% of the church in the U.S. is single, and even that number is growing. So the problem is that we need resources. I get it. I get all your frustrating feelings. So I have made it a goal of mine to research and talk to pastors and watch videos and read as many books as I can, just so that I can be equipped to do this podcast, as well as go into my own dating life with the best and sharpest possible tools. And I have exciting news today. I have compiled all of my favorite dating resources and created a free resource guide for you, so you don't have to scour for all the best things to read or watch anymore. It is called The 7 Resources to Change the Dating Game. I truly believe that this guide will help you navigate this journey with clarity and intention. It is going to help you to sharpen the tools in your toolbox and get out there and date amazingly. You can grab this free resource by visiting heartofdating.com/7resources. That is heartofdating.com/7resources. I am so excited for you guys to get your hands on this incredible free resource.
Okay, so while we're dating or in relationships, I want to talk about the major deal breakers. So maybe some top deal breakers, especially if people are in relationships now, they're noticing things and they're confused, they're not sure what to do. What are some top deal breakers that is like, you should probably end this?
Okay, so I want to list, obviously, abuse and addiction.
Yeah.
Those are never okay.
Yeah.
You cannot help an addict unless they help themselves. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be the one to do it. I can tell you that
totally
right now.
Totally codependent otherwise. Yep.
Codependent. Yep. You can't force them to go to rehab. So if you're with someone that has an addiction, whether it's sex, porn, drugs, mm-hmm. you know, whatever that is, alcohol, you're not going to be their cure mm-hmm. unless if they're ready. And I think it's really unhealthy to be in a relationship with someone that's an addict. They need to get help. They need to get healthy themselves.
Yeah.
The other one obviously is abuse. Any kind of abuse that's yeah. including neglect. Neglect yeah. is a form of abuse. So if yeah. they're neglecting you, they leave for a month and you don't hear from them. Obviously verbal abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, any of that mm-hmm. is never allowed. But other than that, the first and foremost, biggest red flag, run for the hills, is if you see your boyfriend or girlfriend as an emotionally lazy person, meaning that you have communicated those little red flags you've seen, like, hey, I don't see you communicating, or hey, like, I've noticed this. And they continue to show a lack of wanting to be a learner to show up and do the work.
Right.
That they're just like, eh, because that runs deep. Some people just really don't care about expressing their feelings. They don't care about, you know, how you feel or validating what you, and they just really, like, it's just not their jam. And that's a really, really hard marriage.
And it's a really sad place for those people. I always feel really sad for them. Gosh, you're missing out on so much.
Yeah.
And you're never going to reach true fulfillment and happiness in any capacity.
100%. So if they're emotionally lazy when you are dating, I am 99.9% sure that they will be emotionally lazy in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard marriage. The second one would be extreme selfishness. So during conversations, it would be all about them. It's all about their needs, their wants, their goals, their desires. We call it like ping pong conversations. When you have a healthy conversation, I hear from you, you listen to me, we bounce back and forth. There's a lot of people who dominate conversations and you're like, gosh, and a lot of times people who are really good listeners don't see this. So kind of watch out for that. Like if you're kind of more easygoing, you're a listener, you're a follower, and your boyfriend or girlfriend is very more like strong leader. But if it's kind of all about them, that's a significant sign that they're selfish.
Oh, wow.
Selfishness doesn't belong in marriage.
No.
If you are like, this is me and this is my life and I want to do it this way, you shouldn't get married because it won't work.
One of the biggest problems we have right now.
Yes.
Because we're getting married later and that is how we feel. And it's harder as singles later in life.
Correct.
It really is. But that is the mentality we have. Well, I have my perfect life right here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you lived an independent lifestyle for 10, 20 years and then all of a sudden you have to get married, marriage requires sacrifice. It's not about sacrificing everything that you want to do. Of course not. A healthy marriage is, it's mutual sacrifice, mutual. Mm-hmm. So another thing I would say is different faith, different religion.
Yeah.
I think religion and faith and spirituality is such a core value to many people. And if you're with someone that just like doesn't care, It doesn't really affect, I feel like, the first part of your marriage, but when you parent, it's how are the kids going to be raised? Decision-making, will I decide because I pray about it? Well, I don't pray. So then what do you do?
Yeah.
Right? And so I do feel like that doesn't become an issue as much until a little bit later, but it becomes a massive issue. There's not a lot of, I was actually looking for statistics, but we have never seen couples have different religions and have actually made it work. I know it's possible, but I'm guessing that they don't practice their faith in large ways. They're like, oh, I'm Jewish or, oh, I'm Catholic, but they just like kind of live it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so interesting. Yeah.
So if you're like if you love God with all your heart, mind and soul, and you're with someone who doesn't, I mean, I think that's a red flag.
Completely.
Yeah.
We have so many people who ask about that. Well, what if this? What if? And I actually talked to lots of girls and guys who are later in their 30s who are like, but literally the guys I meet or the girls I meet that are not Christian are actually great pursuers and great in conversation. And they're like, they're having better luck and connections with people. And so it's so frustrating. I'm like, don't give up that value.
Because if it's a core value for you, then that will come up later in life. You'll be frustrated often. Another thing is, excuse me, if there's mental health issues that are not being addressed. So I'm not saying that you don't marry someone with mental health issues. I'm saying though that if like they should be on meds and they're not on meds, if they're like, oh, no, I'm depressed, but I'm good right now. Heck no, run for the hills. Mental illness is a massive issue. I love that our culture is starting to talk about it and bring awareness, but they need to be under doctor's care or they need to be having a plan. Like not just like, oh, I got diagnosed with bipolar, but you know, I don't want to take meds. What?
Yeah.
No. Not at all.
Yeah. You're like, no.
Okay. And then the last one I kind of came up with, I think is not as common, but it needs to be said. Extreme introvert with an extreme extrovert. It never works. Doesn't work. Let me tell you why.
That's fascinating.
Introverts get their energy from what? Being by themselves, quiet book, maybe with one friend. Extroverts get their energy with being around people. Mm. Imagine being married and your spouse that's an extreme extrovert is always wanting to go to parties and go out and be the social person and have people over. And you're like, and you're the introvert, which feels instantly draining to you to even think about going to a party. What happens is you live independent lifestyles. So the extreme extrovert's like, well, this is who I am. And the introvert's like, but this is who I am. Cause that doesn't change. You can somewhat morph. Like I used to be an extreme extrovert and I'm called an ambivert now, where like I'm half introvert, half extrovert.
Same. That's exactly. I embrace JOMO, Brené Brown again.
There you go. Yes.
The joy of missing out way more. I used to have FOMO in my life majorly.
In my 20s, I had FOMO. Now I'm JOMO. Who knows what I'm going to be in my 60s. But I do think that it's a really, really hard and toxic combo for most people because you're going to live two independent lives. And that's not a marriage.
Yeah.
So just pay attention. It doesn't mean that an introvert and extrovert can't get married.
Right.
I'm talking more extremes. Yeah. I'm talking extreme introvert, like anxiety with social settings, and then you are married. Now, typically people that have that aren't attracted to each other.
Yeah.
But we find it every once in a while.
And it's so fascinating. Yeah.
Every once in a while, it comes about and it's a really tough combo. So my husband and I are both extroverts, so we're fine. It's never an issue.
Yeah.
It's really common for an introvert to marry an extrovert. It's just know that like you're going to have to go to social settings if you're an introvert.
There has to be a level of balance. You still have to find levels of commonalities and things you guys like to do together.
Correct.
I mean, at the end of the day, I always say you want to be best friends. So if you're like extreme extrovert, extreme introvert, and you guys don't really like doing any of the same things at all, then I don't know how you're going to be best friends with the person.
That's 100%. Really, but I had to throw that out there because that does happen.
Yeah, super fascinating. Okay, so someone brought this up and I thought it was really interesting, but how do you decide if an issue is something that you definitely should break up on or decide to be patient on it? And we kind of touched on this a little bit, but that you like, I mean, how do you know? Is it what you said earlier? Like you bring it up and see
if they
work
on it? Yeah, you bring it up. You give them time to show you that they really do see that, oh, this is an issue. I should work on it. I mean, I think that through their actions, you'll get to know, wow, okay, so I've brought it up a couple of times and there's still no change. Right. I mean, then you make the decision. Am I willing to be with this person if they stay like this forever?
Right.
Because if you've already suggested it and you've already requested something and you've already put it out there and they're still not changing, they're probably not going to change. And if it annoys you, it's going to annoy you 30,000 times more on the other side of marriage. Whatever I'm telling you, being married 16 years,
it more.
You should see my face. My veins are popping out. I mean, it like, will it will magnify significantly. Yes,
that is
and
so
you
true.
Can't marry someone and know that they have this issue and then go, well, you should change. But you married them knowing that they were like that. That's not fair to ask of someone.
Mm-mm.
It's not.
Then you have to turn the finger on yourself. It's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You knew this.
100%. And I have to say, just because my husband does have ADHD, he was actually diagnosed at age 6. If there's any kind of diagnosis, autism, ADHD, mental illness, anything, it's never going away.
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to live that life? It's a hard life. It's a very very hard marriage. I work very hard. My husband and I are very intentional. I mean, we do have a healthy marriage, but I have had to sacrifice and learn so much about how his brain works with ADHD.
Yeah.
We've had to dabble on what meds are best, and we've had meds that made him act crazy, and we've had him with no meds. Like, that's the lifestyle that you are going to live. And then usually mental illness is hereditary.
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to have your children come out and have mental illness issues or that same diagnosis that your spouse has? So be aware. And that should be a deal breaker for some of you that are like, I don't know if I want to have a life. That's okay to say.
Yeah.
It's okay to say. It's okay.
Yeah. But don't pretend that you do and then be resent the person later. You have to, if you know it,
100%.
Then you're signing up for it. And that's beautiful. And I think it's amazing. But yeah, you have to be okay with it. This question I think is so pertinent, especially in Christian relationships. But thoughts on where the line is between encouraging someone to become closer to God versus, you know, trying to rescue them in faith, which ends up just being codependent, to be honest. So where is the line in that, especially if your faiths are a different place, Christian faith?
So I'm not a fan of missionary dating, never have been.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's possible. I know people have done it. I did it once in my past, and it actually ended up really good because the guy wasn't a Christian, and now he's a pastor. Hey!
Hey! That's great.
But
you
I was
didn't marry him.
And I didn't marry him, but I was 16.
Right. Okay.
But anyways, I think that, you know, if we're trying to rescue someone, it's like they're our project, and I don't think that that should ever be your job as a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It's like, well, you're my project. You should see the person have their own desire to have a relationship with God. So my rule is rate yourself. Rate yourself on how much you value your relationship with God. Like if you're a 10, that means like, you know, you are spending time with Jesus every day. You're praying. You're listening to the Holy Spirit. You have goals. Before you make decisions, you're saying, God, you know, where are you directing me?
Mm-hmm.
If that's you, then I hope you're dating someone and that you choose someone that's up, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 with you, because you'll have that in common and you want to have that in common.
Yes.
But if you're like, I love God, but he's kind of like an accessory, like I only go to him when I need him, or I'm kind of in like a dry place, then I mean, then be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
Don't make up a lie that you're a 10 when you're really a 4.
Yeah.
That's okay. God already knows where you're at. You can't pretend from him. And so then, but I would say be with someone who's at the same level as you.
You know what's interesting? It's reminding me too, is all the people who are like, I want this, especially from women, I hear this, okay. But like, I want this amazing man leader, like say they are a 4 or 5, but they're like, I want a guy who's a 10. I'm like, that's not fair. So you have to turn the expectation you have around on yourself as well and test yourself of like, if that's what you want, what are you doing in your own life to get to that level of faith that you want? You can't expect the guy to just... especially when I hear this from women, or similar with guys who are like, oh, well, the women are great and they're super like this and they're going to help me, you know, because women are really good at helping them.
Yes.
Like, great. Well, No, you have to test where your faith is at.
Yeah.
That's like.
Before you can judge their faith, you actually have to like almost judge yourself. Like, where am I at? God, where am I really at?
Mm-hmm.
And the more self-aware and healthy you are, the more honest and realistic your number will be. And then you can kind of gauge and say like, honestly, can I picture myself with someone who's a 2 when I'm a 10.
Yeah.
If you're listening to the Holy Spirit, he's going to tell you, nope.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't break up. I think it just means that I go back to get curious.
Get curious.
Why am I with this person where we're so different in our faith?
Yeah.
Why am I with this person? Like, let's observe. And if there's a willingness to grow in his faith or her faith, fantastic.
Yeah.
Just don't rush into anything.
And especially if that person's willing, I always say the litmus test for me is that person willing to grow with or without you there?
Yes.
If they're willing to do that and showing you that by getting their own mentors, discipleship, working, you know, praying and doing whatever they can to be active on their own, then I'm like, oh, Okay, they're working at it. So honestly, I'm up for that. That's teachability.
I think too, but the sexiest thing that like a man or woman can do is pray for you.
Yes.
Like if you're dating and they're like, you know what? Like let's say you had the flu.
Yeah.
I remember I had the flu when we were dating and my husband obviously now was like, can I just like pray for you? And I'm like, oh my God, who are you? I love you. But you know what? I'm sick. I need help. He's like, let me just pray for you. The fact that he did that when we dated, I knew that I was going to get that on the other side of marriage.
Oh, girl. Anytime a guy's like, if we're like in a, and he's like, can I pray over that? And I'm like, oh, okay. We don't have to kiss. Just keep doing that. Like, I'm good.
Yeah. He really is. 100%. So you're just going to look, like you said, get curious, look for those kinds of signs of the willingness to be open to getting closer to God is a great thing. But if there's no willingness and you're at an 8, 9, 10, then question your own self of why am I in this relationship?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We still have more questions and we got to fly through them. Oh my gosh. There's so many good things, Megan. Okay. So if you aren't just feeling it with the person or if you don't have peace, how do you navigate that? Because a lot of people, that's the thing. I just don't know. I'm not feeling it as much. I don't have peace.
Yeah.
How do we navigate that?
So I definitely say never minimize those feelings. That's great that you're feeling that. That's great you're aware and pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, being able to – we get in trouble if we minimize it and don't do anything about it and then get married and look back and say, oh, shoot, I kind of didn't feel it, but I got married anyways.
Yeah.
So, you know, make sure you check your heart that you don't just want the wedding and the honeymoon and the idea of marriage. Mm-hmm. Look at the person. Because if you're not feeling it when you're dating, you're definitely not going to feel it when you're married. And we say like we hashtag everything. My husband has a tattoo of it. Choose love. I choose love. Love is actually a choice.
Yeah.
So when you're dating, you actually should feel more of the excitement and the butterflies and like it should be exciting. And that's not to say that that all goes away, but I don't wake up every day going, oh my God, I'm in love with my husband. Like butterflies. Sorry, but that's marriage is very mundane, actually. We always say embrace the mundane. So if you're not having peace, don't ignore that. Definitely, you know, I mean, you need to assess if it's just like a day, but if you felt like that for some time.
Or if you struggle with anxiety, like, okay, make sure you're praying and processing through it.
And then my suggestion is meet with a trusted friend, a mentor, someone that's very safe, that knows you and knows your partner and can say like, hey, and they can challenge you and ask you some good questions and help you kind of make a pros and cons list of where am I at?
So good. Okay. So if the person decides or sees that there's a lot of red flags or they just can't picture their life with that person, like we were just saying, how do we move forward with a healthy and kind breakup? Because breakups go wrong all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I
mean, I've been in that situation a lot.
So the first thing to do is to figure out kind of the core issue or issues. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't make too long of a list, like not like 30 things. These are all the 30 things that I don't like about you.
Yeah.
No, that's just mean. don't be mean. But I do think writing out like, if I could pinpoint one or two things that is really the issue, I think writing it down and practicing it. Mm-hmm. So people oftentimes don't practice their communication before they speak it.
Yeah.
So if you struggle with communicating your feelings, if you struggle with, you know, being eloquent when you speak, I think writing it down, looking in the mirror, practicing actually kind of, I don't want to say your speech, but your spiel that you're going to say when you break up.
That's exactly what I do. I'm like,
yeah.
Your facial expressions.
Your facial expressions.
Look in the mirror, your face is a lot.
Your body language. Yes. But then you know what it does? It gives you confidence. Mm-hmm. And we want to be confident when we move into the relation or when we move into the conversation. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't want to be critical.
Yeah.
We don't want to judge and we don't want to be cruel or mean, right? Yeah. So we want to also be respectful. And so there's a way to say it. So let's say I'm going to bring back the video games because it seems like this is a really big issue. You know, hey, like I just want to share with you, like I've loved our time spending. I think starting with a positive.
Yeah.
Okay. It's always good.
I'm into the sandwich effect, honestly.
Yes. Yeah. We call it the kiss, kick, kiss method.
There we
go. You start with a kiss, not a physical kiss, but you start with a kiss and then positive. Then you go in for the punch, the core issue. Then you end with like, but I appreciate our time together. But yeah, I think if you do the video game thing, you say, you know, I've like loved the last few months we've spent together. Mm-hmm. It's been incredible getting to know you. We've had our ups and downs. But, you know, a few months ago I mentioned, you know, your use of screen time. And it was really concerning to me because like here we are, have this amazing date night, and the minute you get home, like, you just want to watch video games, that's like a big turnoff for me. Mm-hmm. I communicated to you. I requested that that would change. I didn't really see any, you know, change in that. Yeah. And I'm really feeling like this is a massive issue that I'm just not really willing to put up with right now. And mm-hmm. so I think it's best for us to just call it quits for what it is right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm not mad at you. So you can only initiate that conversation if you've forgiven that person. If you go into the conversation with anger, resentment, depression, sadness, I mean, you could be sad, but I'm talking about like, I hate you. Like, I want to kill you. Like, yeah. you're a jerk. It's not going to be delivered. So if you've chosen to forgive, like, you know what? This person hurt people.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just don't have the capacity to be emotionally healthy right now.
Awareness. Yeah.
They don't want to be a learner. Mm-hmm. They are who they are. You've tried. The only thing you can control is yourself.
Exactly. It's the radical ownership model. It's like the only thing we can control. And you can't control how they receive the information. If you try your best to be kind and loving and graceful as much as you possibly can and truthful.
I think you should be truthful.
Yes. And they don't receive it well. Then
that's not your fault.
Exactly.
That's not on you.
I see people are like, oh my gosh, I need to like be there for them. No.
Yeah.
And don't back out of your decision. Like you go into that. Do it.
Yeah,
like
be confident.
Yep, be confident. That's so good, Megan. Okay, so the last thing I want to ask you is, if you break up and after some time there's still a desire to be together, how would you navigate that?
I'm so glad you asked this. Okay, let me tell you the biggest issue.
Okay.
So these couples that are like on again, off again, mm-hmm. right? I'm going to address that. Because I think,
oh my gosh,
it's so common, so right? Yep. So this is what happens. They broke up because there was a significant issue mm-hmm. or they wouldn't have broken up.
Right.
It wasn't fixable. Otherwise, they would have stayed together and fixed it and worked through it, right? So the rule is if it was fixed, then sure, if you're still feeling the vibe, there's still that attraction, then get back together. The problem is that most people break up, they don't fix the issue and they miss each other. Mm-hmm. Or if there was sex in the relationship, they miss the great hot sex. Or if there was a lot of fun and adventure, they miss that. Mm-hmm. But the core issue of why you broke up wasn't fixed. Never get back together or you will be in the same place you were a year later going, this issue is still not fixed.
Do you think there's a certain amount of time to wait and see before?
I do. I don't think that anyone should date less than a year. Mm-hmm. But even if you're abstinent.
Like that. No, I'm into that. Yeah.
I don't think that's enough. There's just not enough time to see the crazy come out. We call it the crazy. Not that we all are a little crazy. Come on the spectrum.
Or go through seasons. We said that way earlier, but go through something hard together.
Yeah, something difficult together. But I think that if you do break up, I think there should be at least 6 months.
Okay.
At least six months. And let's just say they can't come back to you and go, oh, well, I worked on it. I want to actually see the change.
Yeah.
Because you can't really change in a month or two if it's a big drastic thing.
Yeah.
Come on. It takes some time to form a habit. So you want it to be that they really have – and you want to look for self-awareness.
Yeah.
You want to look for ownership. Like if you broke up with someone because they worked too much and work always won –
yeah.
You want to make sure that they now have healthy boundaries in place.
Yeah.
Not just, well, I'm working less. No. Show me how. And that it's been going on consistently for 6 months.
Yeah. It takes over 60 days to form a true long-term habit. So at least, in the very least, they need – but also set up themselves up with like systems and other people and accountability. And they're like, hey. And then they come back to the table. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
It's not just, hey, I've changed. It's like – I've had people come back that said, hey, I noticed this, I've changed, and I do want to prove that to you.
Yeah.
And I've done that before. I've said, okay, I mean, I'm really going to be cautious and I'm going to be watching and it's going to take some time for me to trust that this has changed.
Yeah.
I'm open to that.
Yeah.
But they have to show. You have to be able to see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of couples who do go back and forth on and off, they don't have a lot of success being committed in marriage. Mm. I mean, so like my husband and I, we never broke up when we were dating. And I'm not saying that it's bad if you do, but I think multiple times shows like, wow, so when things get tough, is that your ammo? Like to leave and to break up? Because guess what? When you're married, there's no giving up. Mm-mm. You better not. Yeah. You know, this is like, so the mindset is we're going to work through it And that's where, like, you shouldn't even have to break up. That's hopefully we're like, if you're with someone that's healthy, I would say there you go. There's a red flag. Yeah, yeah. Let's add another red flag. Yeah. Is if you're having a breakup and then they change and then they get back together mm-hmm. and then like, okay, I worked on it. And then something else comes up and it's hard. And then the ammo is like, okay, well, maybe we shouldn't, like, this isn't working. And then they break up again. Mm-hmm. That's a really bad rhythm because you can't do that in marriage.
And that's a really hard rhythm to break in general, I think, with where we're at right now, because there is a lack of perseverance where we're at. We're instant gratification, like, yeah. Let me get it, and what's the new best thing? And so when it gets hard, okay, cool. Yeah. There's something else out there.
To quote our favorite, Brené Brown, right? The lack of integrity. It's doing – because the easy way is to truly break up – not always, but the easy way when you're in a committed relationship is to go, well, I just don't want to work on that.
Yeah.
Versus to say, you know what? My partner does see this mm-hmm. red flag, and I'm going to change. You know what? I do notice that I need to work on this. I mean, that's sexy. That's like, yes. Oh, you're a learner. You're willing to be teachable. Uh-huh. Awesome. Let's do this. That's what you want to mm-hmm. see. Yeah.
Nothing is sexier to me than the teachability, being a learner. I'm like, okay, other than the prayer, I'm like, okay, you want to learn? You're reading a book. You're sending me something that you've learned. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, yes, that you could be David Beckham, and I'm not going to like you if you're not a learner.
Yeah. You can't make a marriage work if mm-hmm. you have only one person learning, adapting, sacrificing. You have to have two people that are willing, even if they don't, it's because it's not about perfection. It's about mm-hmm. progress, right? Yes. So two healthy people make mm-hmm. a healthy relationship. Two healthy individuals make a healthy marriage. Well, healthy people recognize I could always be better than I was yesterday.
Yeah, so good. All right, girl, this has been so rich. I feel like people are going to have to go back and re-listen multiple times. Take notes, everybody. I'll tell them and warn them in the intro. But I end every episode with the same last question, which is, what is your final dating nugget advice for the listeners today?
Well, I kind of just said it, but I do think, you know, my tagline, I don't want to say my tagline, but the best advice I ever got was, if you want to make a better marriage, make a better you. Mm. And I think that before we can look at the negative or focus on the red flags and all that's important, I think first we have to look at ourselves. And I always have this visual that there's this circle, and inside the circle, it's like, it says my words, my actions, my attitude, my habits, right? Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Because you can't really point out all the flaws in other people mm-hmm. until you really look at yourself, you know? And it's not to say to ignore the red flags, for sure, because I think it's so important. But first do that. Get curious with yourself. Like, where are areas that I can improve on? Mm-hmm. And then I think after that, then you can expand, because you only do have control over yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you're with someone that has all these red flags, or you're feeling really discouraged right now, because I know I'm sure some people are like, oh my gosh, like, she just identified so many of the red flags that I've had in my past relationships that I keep repeating in these dating relationships. I don't want someone to feel super discouraged, just to say, you just need to spend a little time on yourself first. Yeah. Get yourself healthy, mm-hmm. you know? And you, as you get more self-awareness and work on all those things that you do have control over, you'll be able to pick healthy people. You'll see the world differently.
And that's exciting. That's like exactly what you're saying. It's like, I think that's exciting, not to discourage people, but like, hey, you guys, this is awesome. Like, you're becoming a better person. I love that. If you want a better marriage, be a better you or whatever.
Yeah. If you want to make a better marriage, make a better you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want a good partner, be a good partner. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could fill it in with anything, right? Even in a dating relationship. Yeah. Like, we teach people how to treat us. So if you are unhealthy, you're probably attracting another unhealthy person. So get yourself healthy and, you know, with Jesus, I mean, not to be cheesy, but truly, if you're listening to him and his voice, he will convict you. Yeah. He is talking to us all the time. Yeah. Are we willing to listen? Mm-hmm. Are we willing to be obedient? Mm-hmm. And are we willing to not live like a lot of the world lives? Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of sacrifice, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it.
Megan, thank you so much. This was amazing. I can't wait to see the reaction to this episode. I'm going to like pump it out there so much, because everyone needs to hear this. Yes. So thank you for just preparing for this and all of the wisdom. It's so, so helpful for us.
Yes. And if anyone's listening and knows Brené Brown, Kate and I want to have lunch with her. It's on our bucket list.
Yes, please.
Make it happen. I will do whatever you need me to do. I will give you premarital counseling for free. Like, her and I need to sit down with Brené Brown, because we love her.
As you guys can see, we are clearly obsessed. So please help us out in our end goal, our bucket list. It's like very top to my list. Yes, so
I know.
I don't even know. Like, I would be beside myself if this could happen.
And we don't have to do it separate. I mean, we should do it together.
Yeah, we can do it together.
It could be all three of us. Yeah. And I don't even care if it's for 15 minutes. I'll take it.
I'm like, I will take any moment of time. I'll get her tea, whatever she wants. Honestly, I don't care. I'll come to her.
We'll go to her. We can go to Texas.
Yeah. My family's in Texas. Let's do it, girl. We can stay there with my dad. He lives there. Perfect. All right, Megan, you're awesome. I'll include all the links and the discount tier, engagement course, all of that. And just thank you so much for being with me today.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys.
Come on, Megan Kasten. That was so, so good. I hope you guys were taking some notes today because that was some true talk right there. I also love that Megan mentioned that sex is a huge reason why we often miss these red flags, okay? And I don't mean just intercourse. I mean any crossing of physical boundaries. Megan says if you can practice self-control before you're married, you'll be able to practice it after you're married. Adding too much physical intimacy can cloud our minds, which fully ties into last week's episode on sex, purity, and virginity with Mo Isom. I just love when all these things come full circle, y'all. So, Megan, thanks again for sharing your incredible wisdom with us today. And guys, go ahead and make sure you check out our Heart of Dating website for a reminder of all the discounts we are offering on the Marriage 365 books, as well as their course for engaged and premarital couples today at happilyeverafterlove.com. You can use the code HEARTOFDATING20 for a discount on this course, a 20% discount, as well as on their book, okay? So y'all better take advantage of it. I cannot be more thankful for your support of the Heart of Dating podcast. I am blown away by your rankings, reviews, messages, all of it. If you want to be a part of our inner circle and support what we are doing, we encourage you to pledge any dollar amount that you want on our Patreon page at patreon.com/heartofdating. Also, if you like this podcast, would you please consider giving us a review? It helps us immensely, and we could not thank you more. Until next time, friends.